Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Russ Weaver.
And I'm Susie McIntyre.
And you may have heard us say this last week, but we're not going to talk about our cattle this week. This is the second half of a message that started last week.
That's right. That's right.
You see, we only have 30 minutes, and so sometimes we have to cut those messages in two. And
yeah,
we're going to hear the second half of this message.
Well, you know, these highfalutin other, you know, channels, they got these episodes that run all season. You know, we have two, these highfalutin TV stations, you know. We get two, and we're thinking we're doing pretty good.
We are doing pretty good,
right,
aren't we?
Right.
Yeah. Well, so we're about to have highfalutin Cowboy Church.
That's exactly right. You know,
go ahead.
I so enjoy hearing your stories about watching Cowboy Church. Just the other day, we were in South Dakota, Isbell, South Dakota. She comes up to me with tears in her eyes, and she says, thank you. Thank you for having Cowboy Church. We wouldn't be able to get to church sometimes. We're out in the middle of nowhere. We watch Cowboy Church. Thank you for having
us. Aw, and we're so grateful that we get to be a part of your life that way. We're going to go to Cowboy Church right now. Stay tuned.
You know, Mark, in my life, I've had a few things go on that's been a lot of trouble for me. And I really didn't understand the calm that Jesus can bring until late in my later years. In fact, I'm 65 years old right now, and it's only been in the last year that I've really been able to tap in to what Jesus really meant when he was in the boat with the disciples. And and they woke him up and they said, there's a storm, and aren't you afraid that we're all going to die? We're all going to perish. Why don't you do something and calm this thing? And he did.
Right.
And, but in the last, since COVID hit in 2020, when it really slowed us down and we had to stay home because, you know, a lot of our jobs had been canceled, and things in the community were canceled, and church was even canceled at some point, and we went in and did that thing. I really had a hard time just settling myself and having that calm that everything would be all right. And do you know why? I realized why.
Oh, I'd like to know.
I kept myself so busy going here, there, and everywhere that I didn't even have time to think about it.
You've had a very busy schedule for about 55 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I really think I'm going to tell this story in a later episode of Cowboy Church, but I really think that when I got sick after I got COVID,
right,
I think it was for a purpose in a way, because if I hadn't have gotten sick and had to slow down, then I may have been sicker, so maybe God saved my life in calming me down and saying, you know what, you've got to learn to sit and be still.
He gave you the waves and the water coming over the front of the boat.
Exactly.
When Jesus is in the boat, there's no need to panic.
That's right. That's right. Sometimes I let this old world have its way with me. There is no escape as far as I can see. Oh, I'm captured by the wind. I break so helplessly. I know if not for you, there'd be no hope for me. You are the at the center of my storm. When the cold winds blow, you're the fire that keeps me warm. And when this old world gets me down, oh, I will rest inside your arms. You are the calm at the center of my storm. I could only learn to always turn to you. Instead of thinking, I always know what to do. And why does it take the darkness for my eyes to see? There's never been a time when you weren't there for me. And you are the calm at the center of my storm. And when the cold winds blow, you're the fire that keeps me warm. And when this old world gets me down, oh, I will rest inside your arms. You are the calm at the center of my storm. And when this old world gets me down, oh, I will rest inside your arms. You are the calm at the center of my storm. You are the calm at the center of my storm. You are the calm at the center of my storm.
It hits me that all of us are born under a curse. You know, from the very get-go, when Adam sinned in the garden, he brought about a curse on all of us, and it's a curse of sin. What it means is this, that we're not born as innocent children. We're born as sinners. And then we do all we can to live up to it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we try to do all the stuff we can to get back to God, but the problem is we're cursed. And until a revolutionary thing happens from God himself, we're living under the curse of Adam, and it's the same as having been named Lo Ruhama, not loved. Lo Ami, not my people. Because Adam wrecked it for all of us, and then all of us went ahead and continued the wreckage ourselves. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, guys, this is not a matter of you being good people or bad people. It's a matter of living under the curse or not under the curse. And no matter how good you are, if you're still under the curse, you're not going to get there. And no matter how ordinary you are, when you're living under the blessings, you will get there. So here, let's look at it. Proverbs 22, verse 1, it says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name has value. It's either earned or it's inherited. I have a great heritage. My dad and my mom set things up so that when I began to do what I had to do, if they knew my mom or knew my dad, I got benefit of the doubt because I had a good name by inheritance. I remember when I applied for a home missions appointment, I was sitting across the table from the home missions director, and I wanted to go to the rodeos and hold church service at these rodeos. And I was talking to him over lunch, trying to convince him that this was a good idea. Nobody had ever heard of it before. You know, it's a good idea, and he's not buying it very well. And then he does this. He goes, Weaver, Weaver. He says, you're not any relation to Jasper Weaver, are you? I said, yeah, that's my dad. I knew when he said that, that I was in. And a good name that my dad had earned allowed us to do what we wanted to do. It's greatness. What we want for our children is for them to have a great name. So why would they name them a bad name But it's for this, so that we understand that we are all under a curse. Now, I'm not going to get into heaven because I'm Jasper Weaver's kid. But I sure have an advantage in this world because he's set a good name. But I still individually have to commit my life to Christ. I have to turn over the keys to my life, say, God, here it is. This is yours. I'm yours. Forgive my sins. Take me out from underneath this curse and let me be your people. And when that happens, what happens to us? The Bible says there's a new name written down in glory. Yeah, I'm just on the edge of being choked up over this whole thing. When I realize that all of us are born into sin and born under a curse, and I was outraged by reading that in Hosea, and I'm not outraged by the people that are in this world that are living under a curse and I'm doing nothing about it. People need Jesus Christ as a redeemer for their sins so they can become people of grace. Let's go a little further. It's a choice. It's more than a curse. It's a choice. God gave us the ability to choose. He didn't give us the ability to make our life right. He said, here's how it works. You can't earn your way in because you don't have that ability. You're not good enough because you don't do this. There's no other way than through Jesus, and we do it by choosing Jesus. This is how you choose Jesus. You come to him humbly before him, and it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me. I come into his presence. I ask him to forgive my sins. I ask him to accept me as one of his children. He adopts me into the family. I'm now a child of God. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I begin to walk under grace instead of curse. Does it go good all the time? No. Are you kidding me? Doesn't go good all the time. But I tell you what it does do. It gives you the ability to handle whatever has come your way with peace, knowing that God's still in charge of this. God knows what he's doing. And I can trust him. You can trust him. If I'm not walking in grace, I'm walking under the curse. The first thing bad that happens to me, I start questioning myself. What did I do? Did I do this wrong? Did I do that wrong? There's insecurities there. But when you're walking in the anointing, if we're walking under grace, if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're walking with God, what happens? We become children of the living God. And when things begin to happen, we know that God's in charge of this and I don't have to worry about it. It's a big difference. Joshua 24, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's time for men to take up their position before God. And if your kids haven't come to the age of accountability, they need your help, not bully. They need your help understanding that our priority in life is for us to make a commitment to live for God so that we can live in grace instead of under the curse. And the way they find that is we go to church. It's like this. You know, when you're working with horses, they always do one of two things. They're either in charge or you're in charge. And they check it out. And if you're not in charge, they know it. And they will mess you up. If they're not like dogs, you don't come every day and go, you smell me, I'm okay. You do that, what you're saying is, you're in charge. And they say, okay, since I'm in charge, get out of my way. That's what they do. But if I walk in and go, I'm in charge here, they go, oh, got it. How can I help you? And that's a simplified version of it, of course. But the truth is, that's how they're made. They always check out who's in charge. Chickens understand that, even pecking order. But horses understand this. And so what we do is we begin to understand who's in charge of this life. Who's in charge? Am I going to be in charge of my own life? Then it's not going to work right. If God's in charge of my life, what do I get to do for you? How can I help you? And God has a plan for us. And it's more than a curse. It's a choice we get to choose.
We can't earn it. We have to choose it. And it is life and death. But because of that, because of us making that choice, the next thing that happens is there's a calling. And the calling is the great part, because a calling is when we actually find out why in the world we were created. We understand why God made us this way. How many of you have ever wondered, why did God make me this way? Why did God do this? Well, first of all, take the part of you that isn't working right and understand it's that part's under the curse still. And the part of you that is working right, God is still trying to develop. And if we'll commit it to Him, God begins to develop. And what we find out is He has a calling, or He has a higher way of living that is bigger than what you ever thought before. And this is a great verse, well, several great verses, more than a name. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? This is after you commit your life to Christ. Do justly, to live mercy, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It's under His tutelage. He's in charge of the pecking order. Walk humbly before God. That means He's over me. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All what things? Whatever God decides will work for you. All the things that you need provided so that you can fulfill the reason you were created, God will take care of those. But if you're walking under curses, you don't even know why you're created. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then this is in Ephesians, and it says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He's talking about us walking in unity with God and fulfilling a calling that God has given us. It's more than just a choice. It's more than just blessings and a curse, but it is a calling, and it's a place that we find Christ. And then the wonderful thing we find, Hosea 2, verse 1, go look it up. It says, when the children of Israel return to their rightful place, what God is going to do with them, He's going to take the low out of their name so that they will be loved and they will be His people. God uses the nation of Israel to help us understand our personal walk with Him. When Israel sinned, their life fell apart. When they rejected God, their life fell apart. When they accepted Christ, His leadership over them, God prospered them. God helped them. And God directed them and led them and helped them to be the people that He wanted them to be. And if we will just walk humbly before Him, He can do the very same thing for us. Say, well, are you going to be rich because you're Christian? And I didn't say that. Prosperous is way different than rich. Prosperous has to do with a full contentment of life. Money is not the thing that decides whether you're contented. The full contentment of life is what great prosperity is. And so as we walk before God in His prosperity, fulfilling what God created us to fulfill and being the person God created us to be. And guys, this is not about getting seen. This is not about being the biggest and the best. This is not about being the world's champion. It's not about being the leader of all the stuff. It's about fulfilling what God says. The first most important priority is what? Commit your life to Christ. Get out from underneath the curse. Get you a new name written in glory in the Lamb's Book of Life. Second thing is, get a hold of God. Get committed to God. Find out what God has in mind. And then begin to do day by day what God called you to do, step by step. God's not going to let you see the end of it and all the great things that he can do with you. He's just going to have a nudge like this. If you're training horses, you know that you start them off like this. The first thing you want is this foot to move. Oh, that's really good. But after you've been riding for 2 years and you do that and they just move a foot, you're kind of disappointed. I was actually asking you to turn clear around. You know, there's more to it as it grows. And that's how God will work in your life. He just gives you a step at a time. He'll light your path a step at a time, and He'll help you. But you have to commit to Him.
We are so glad you joined us today for Cowboy Church. Russ, I talk across the nation, sing here and there, and people are so excited to have Cowboy Church in their homes.
Does that not amaze you?
It does amaze me.
I'm really tickled that we get to be a part of that.
That's
and
right.
I tell you, we're so honored that you invite us into your homes every week. I just want to let you know that we have covenanted together that we're going to try to bring you the best we can bring you, and we pray for you. We pray for this program, pray that it'll do what God needs it to do.
That's
and
right.
If we do that, then it's up to Him, huh?
That's
so we're
exactly
going to leave it
right.
up to Him as we say goodbye, huh?
That's exactly right. Join us next time on Cowboy Church. We really enjoy bringing these programs to you.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dear rest and best for a world of lost sinners were slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange. Rugged cross, so despised by the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. And so I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will
We really appreciate you tuning in today and watching Cowboy Church. There's a QR code on your screen, and it's real simple. All you got to do is take your phone up there, and it'll pop up on your screen somehow miraculously. And if you tap on it, then you'll be into the website, and you'll be able to give to Cowboy Church to keep us on the air. God bless you, and you have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.